This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, December 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. Habitat for Humanity is a nonprofit that helps people build affordable housing. Two chapters of the organization on the Western Slope have recently been merged. KBNF's Laura Pomisano talks about the union with Heather Zeilman, the development director for Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans.
Habitat for Humanity of Montrose County and Habitat for Humanity of the Telluride region recently merged. Can you tell me about this decision and how it came about?
The Telluride affiliate, the story that has been told is that it started with a group of four or five guys sitting around a poker table who came from towns where they were really involved with their local Habitat affiliate, and they decided to start building affordable houses. And so those five gentlemen would find the money and the construction. I think they may have actually been building themselves. They were building homes in Norwood. And I think over time, each of those gentlemen moved away, and they felt the need to keep the momentum going from what they had started. And the Habitat affiliate in Montrose County has had a lot of success over the last few years. And it just seemed that rather than letting that affiliate go, that it would be better serving the region to merge the two affiliates together.
What's this new organization called, and who's going to oversee it?
So the new organization, the new name is going to be called Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans, and the organization will be led by the current board of directors and the current executive director, Colleen Burke. In the meantime, we're also reaching out and putting together an advisory board that will have representatives from each of the towns within the region that we serve.
What areas will Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans now serve?
So we will continue to serve Montrose County, and we will be extending our service area to San Miguel County and Ouray County.
What does this newly formed Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans look like? How many volunteers do you have? How many staff do you have serving your organization?
So right now we have 16 staff that have been with the Montrose County affiliate. And we have hundreds of volunteers that work with the organization each year, whether it be at the Restore or with our event or on the construction site. As we move into new territory, we will be meeting with local leaders and communities to determine what the needs are within each community before determining what our volunteer needs are and if there are going to be any staffing needs in that area.
Thank you for your time, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Heather Zeilman with Habitat for Humanity of the San Juans. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
There's a push from college students to stop investment in fossil fuels. The Denver Post reports that University of Colorado students are organizing across the campuses to push the school to divest from fossil fuels. CU has about $1.4 billion investment portfolio. This year, NASA reported the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is 400 parts per billion, the highest it's been in the past million years. More cities want to take eating local food from just a hip trend to an economic generator. But as with many grassroots movements, there can be some growing pains along the way, and that has some looking to the tech sector for lessons. KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports.
When you talk about the local food movement to an economist or an economic development team, you're likely to hear the phrase cute to scale. That means up until this point, a lot of the movement has focused on the cute, bucolic farmers markets and high-priced farm-to-table restaurants, leaving the back-end stuff, like distribution and processing, untouched.
It's great to be able to do all that farm-to-table stuff, but now let's figure out how we make it impactful.
That's one of those economic development folks, Josh Burks, economic health director with the city of Fort Collins, Colorado. He wants the city to help make local food more accessible, and he wants it to add jobs and tax revenue to the local economy. To do that, Burks's department is supplying seed money for something called an industry cluster. These clusters help business owners share ideas and facilitate planning. They're part policy council, part think tank, part task force, and part trade association.
We're taking a concept that I think has been successful in more traditional industry areas like technology, apps, or the renewable energy space, and we're trying to apply it to something that is very, very different, a food system.
And because it's very different, forming a food cluster comes with a unique set of challenges.
You know, what I think the cluster wants to do is help organizations like yours stay afloat.
And so, I guess it just hasn't been conveyed enough how you guys are going to be doing.
At an indoor winter farmers market, Ashley Kohlpart tries to sell the newly formed Northern Colorado food cluster to a prospective member. Kohlpart is the cluster's coordinator.
Part of the purpose of the cluster is to have dialogue that maybe wouldn't have been had before and talk about the constraints in the food system, but also the opportunities.
Kohlpart says one of the biggest challenges in growing a food system is lack of communication. Farmers who run small operations rarely have the time to network, and bigger companies don't see the benefit in working with smaller entities. That leads to a food system where only the big companies talk with each other, and vice versa for the small guys, leaving the crucial connections in the middle absent and unformed.
And a lot of the constraints on agriculture is who controls the middle parts of the distribution chain and the processing and manufacturing. All of that's happening by very large companies that are controlling prices and access points.
I don't know that the average person really cares about aggregating and moving produce in big trucks.
Diana Sokolov is with San Francisco's planning department. The city also has a food cluster.
It's kind of an ugly back end side of the business.
Sokolov says there's real passion for local food, but few people are thinking about the middle, how to make it more profitable for farmers and more accessible for shoppers. That's where cities can come in to identify and fortify clusters. Becca Jablonski is an agricultural economist at Colorado State University.
So I think having some kind of organization that's helping to bring together different constituents who are, you know, all part of the same food system and helping to think through different kinds of opportunities at any scale is really important.
Jablonski says city officials have a vested interest in seeing local food take off to support jobs and feed people. Other local food clusters in cities like Louisville, Kentucky, and Portland, Oregon are also taking shape. But Jablonski says getting the local food movement away from just being cute could mean a shift in what the word local even means.
You know, is it just farms that sell at farmers markets directly to customers that are considered part of the local food system, or are we talking about something much more broad? And I would actually argue that that broader definition is much more useful.
And that broader definition includes the cute parts of the local food system and the businesses that aren't. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, Quentin Tarantino's new film, The Hateful Eight, is being shot just outside of Telluride, and they've released the cast list. Visiting the Western Slope will be Samuel Jackson, Michael Madsen, Tim Roth, and Channing Tatum. Included in the cast is Snowmass resident Kurt Russell. The Western takes place just after the Civil War in the middle of a Wyoming snowstorm. Up next, Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.